The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It seems that in Ireland there is freedom of expression, but limited freedom of opinion. It is impossible to deny that anti-Semitism exists in this country. That's according to Dana Ehrlich, ambassador of Israel to this country, and she will be explaining those views to me in a moment or two. But we also want to talk about the declarations by the new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, that Ireland is going to pursue Palestinian statehood, the recognition of such, along with the Prime Minister of Spain and perhaps other EU countries. Ambassador, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let's first talk about the moves by Simon Harris to, if you like, try to coordinate a move among EU states to recognise a Palestinian state. What do you say?
We don't think that this is the right time for such recognition. We ask, why reward terrorism? This is giving a very dangerous signal to Hamas and other terror organizations. But also my question is, what are they going to recognize? Is it going to be a three-state solution? Who will control Gaza? Because right now, the Palestinian Authority and Hamas are rivals. They're killing each other. Hamas just killed Palestinian Authority employees in Gaza trying to bring aid. So they're not talking between themselves. Who will govern? What state will that be? This is not the time to do that. This will not help the Palestinian people.
Have you had any information from our Department of Foreign Affairs or indeed from the Taoiseach's department as to what exactly they propose to recognize? As you pointed out, there are two distinct enclaves of Palestinians, the West Bank and Gaza, which, as we know, is partly destroyed at the moment. So what does the Irish government intend? Have they shared that with you?
They have not shared it yet. We are in ongoing conversations. It's part of our diplomatic open channels that we maintain. But my question is, what will it look like and why now? Especially, we do not think that it will benefit the Palestinian people. Any enforced solution from a third party will not be helpful. And I know that a lot of people here draw comparisons with the situation in Ireland. Just imagine if the international community would have enforced a solution on you.
Now, the question of who runs whatever Palestine state there might be and how it would be configured geographically is still an open question. But if Hamas were not involved, would Israel have the same difficulty if there was a new Palestinian authority of some construct looking after the two parts of the territory? Would you have a difficulty with the recognition of statehood then?
Any long-term solution, any possible future solution needs to be between the parties involved. It needs to be a bilateral agreement between the parties. And in the past, we've sat and we've discussed it with the Palestinian Authority and other Palestinian representatives. We are willing to negotiate when there is goodwill on the other side. Right now, the situation during a war against a genocidal terror organization that does not want coexistence, it does not want peace. To mix this current war with a possible solution of a Palestinian state, this is not the time to do
now,
it.
It is the declared aim of Hamas, as distinct from the Palestinian Authority, to eliminate the state of Israel. But the word genocidal is being applied to Israel now, not so much to Hamas, even though it is their declared objective.
We see the devaluation of those legal terms, and I remind you, it's legal terms. And I use that term with regards to Hamas, because Hamas, in their charter and their actions and their statements, publicly say that their aim is to eliminate the Israelis living in Israel, all of Israelis, and the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. So they declare that. Therefore, it's genocidal. When you look at the legal term, intent is the most important word in that description. And right now, what we see, that's a very cynical application at the ICJ by South Africa, is just abuse of the international...
But when you destroy the place where people live, where you make it impossible for them perhaps to return to their homes, one third of Gaza has been so badly damaged that it amounts to destruction. So people who are being shuttled from here to there, from Gaza City to Khan Yunis, up to Rafah, being moved around, there will be, according to Prime Minister Netanyahu, an incursion into Rafah, which will mean that the movement of more people. The Israeli Defence Forces have bought 40,000 tents. What are they for? Not to house themselves, but to house people they're going to displace.
The most important thing in all of the different statements that you just made are why. Why is this happening? Not just why because Hamas started this war on October 7th, and it's a war. It wasn't a one-day attack. It's a war that they're constantly firing at us, targeting us every day since October 7th. But why, in the sense of why is Hamas operating this way? And the fact that we are not holding them accountable, that here in Ireland, people are letting them off the hook and not talking about what they're doing, be it abusing them as human shields, abusing civilian infrastructure, schools, hospitals, what happens at Shifa and Nasser Hospital, that needs to be condemned.
The moves for peace talks, I put it the other morning to people we were talking to that both sides made the other an offer that they had to refuse.
I'll just correct you about that. These are not peace talks. Hamas does not want coexistence. These are negotiations for an interim ceasefire in order to bring back all of our kidnapped.
Unfortunately, but both parties made each other offers that they could not refuse. Hamas wanted Israel completely out of Gaza. Israel, on the other hand, wanted at least the hostages given back and Hamas to lay down its arms. That was the original negotiating position. But the word is coming out that perhaps Hamas don't even have enough living hostages to swap.
They don't have the 40 by their categories. So Hamas, in a very cynical way, draw different categories for which kidnapped will be released when. We want all of our kidnapped to be released. These are civilians that were kidnapped from their homes. The same agony and the same dedication that we saw when Emily Hand was in the hands of Hamas, we are continuing that fight to bring back all of our kidnapped home. And these are not hostages. These are not prisoners of war, as some people here sometimes mistake to make. These are people that were kidnapped and need to be returned, not now, yesterday. The war can end in a heartbeat if they're returned home and Hamas stops with its genocidal attempts against Israel.
We've talked before on the program about the whole issue of proportionality. I mean, if 33,000 people, and whether or not you believe the health ministry of Hamas's count, I mean, all of the aid agencies there are testifying that many, 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 many people have been killed and many, many people have been maimed. And the doctrine of proportionality there, including the hostages and all of those who were slaughtered on October the 7th by Hamas, there's a many multiples of victims on the Palestinian side, many children who could possibly not have any hand act or part in the activities of October the 7th. Why are they paying the price?
When we talk about proportionality, that is another legal term that needs to be revised. So we're using a legal term based from the international law and the rules of war, and we are abiding by the international law. We know that Hamas, in a very cynical way, is embedded in its civilian population, and we are doing above and beyond in order to make sure that less and less civilians are hurt.
But I mean, 30,000
plus. But I'll ask you
That's proportionate. How is that proportionate?
Because Hamas, for example, if you want to allegedly believe that number, just think that they're not including their own terrorists within that number. That needs to be said. The statistical anomalies within those numbers. And whenever we talk about numbers, it already becomes cynical because any number is too much. Nobody should have died.
But if you look at the numbers every day, the numbers don't add up. There does seem to be a certain maybe cynicism on the part of Israel that, you know, one Israeli life is worth dozens of Palestinian lives. And I would always think a life is a life.
I reject that accusation because, again, this is another example of the double standard of damned when we do and damned when we don't. When we are willing to bring a lot of convicted terrorists in return to one Israeli, we're accused of not holding their lives sufficient. If we can return one for one, one kidnapped for one convicted terrorist, we would. Unfortunately, Hamas knows that the international community holds Israel to a different standard.
No, but I was thinking more of the victims.
I ask you this question.
Not the prisoners in Israel.
How many Israelis did Hamas try to kill since October 7th, not just on October 7th? If this were up to Hamas, more and more Israelis would have been killed every day since, not just in Israel, but internationally.
One of the texts says, Israel could show goodwill by preventing famine and death in Gaza and stopping land grabs in the West Bank. Maybe if Israel did that, their enemies would not want Israel destroyed so much.
I reject that narrative and the use of famine here in Ireland. I think it's a very manipulative term. There is no famine in Gaza. There is a certain crisis because of distribution. And we need to be very clear with that. There is no limit to the amount of aid that goes into Gaza. There is no limit to the amount of aid that can go in.
Yeah, but
right
we
now,
talked to UNICEF right, the other morning. And
right now,
60
I'm
hours
sorry, I'll just
to get
finish
a truck
this.
Through. 60 hours.
Well, right now, these are 600 trucks, loads of trucks that are waiting in the side of Gaza to enter, to be distributed. They've already passed the Israeli side. We are not the bottleneck. And we've said it repeatedly. We ask the UN to increase their working hours, to have more manpower in order to distribute it. We're working with the WFP closely. We're working with other NGOs on the ground, working with other countries. So we are facilitating.
How would you feel secure after the World Central Kitchen killing of seven people? The vehicles were clearly marked and they weren't in a cluster with one particular missile hitting them. Each vehicle separately was hit by...
That was a tragic incident. And once we learned of that tragic incident, we condemned it. We
but
verified
it. But how would you feel
it,
safe then? Do you know what I mean?
We investigated.
You're saying, why won't they work longer and harder? And with that kind of firepower,
we are investigating it in order to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So we are taking responsibility. We are owning our mistakes. And again, whenever we do something or we don't do something, in Ireland, Israel is held to a different standard. The narrative here is very one-sided. And it's okay to criticize Israel. It's okay to scrutinize Israel. But there is a certain line that is being crossed here.
Okay,
that everything that Israel does is automatically condemned even before we do it. If you look at Rafah, for example, for weeks we've been condemned about a possible future, maybe, operation that we might
Your Prime Minister said you are going in and no force on earth will stop him.
But we didn't do it yet because we're taking it very seriously. We're analyzing, recalibrating, calculating, seeing what the best outcome will be. But yet here in Ireland, we were already condemned for that, accused of crimes that we didn't do.
People watch what happened in Gaza City, watch what happened in Khan Yunis, and they know that when Israel goes in, it will be devastating for the population still remaining there. At best, they will be moved to live in tents for however long it takes. They may be condemned to, you know, latrines, no running water, etc., etc., etc. And that's why people are condemning Israel in advance of going in, because they know what the consequences will be.
The consequences will be as minimal as possible if we have anything to do with that. But unfortunately, it's Hamas, the governing body on the ground, that is controlling this cynical abuse of its population. And when you talk about running water, you need to understand that they don't need to live like that. And this is something that the international community could have intervened even before October 7th. The situation on the ground of these refugees camp are being perpetuated not just by Hamas, but also by UNRWA. They can have sewage. We've seen that with the amount of terror tunnels underneath all of the Gaza Strip. The problem is not about things or equipment that goes into Gaza. The problem is that Hamas is abusing it. So they can have sewage, they can have running water, if all of us as the international community stand up to Hamas.
You accused Ireland really of being anti-Semitic. Not everyone, of course, but that there are many people who support the State of Israel, but who dare not speak publicly of that support. Where do you see the seeds of anti-Semitism? Because I can go back to when the Troubles were on, and people in Britain could be anti the IRA, but not anti-Irish. For example, Terry Wogan was the biggest broadcaster in Britain at the time of the Troubles, and there was no issue. People could be anti-British government policy here around the hunger strikes, but not be anti-British people.
Unfortunately, what we see right now, and we are concerned by the vilification of everything Israeli, by the confusion of what anti-Semitism is, what Zionism is. The fact that people dismiss Zionism and oppose it, this is the national identity of the Jewish people. Not every Jewish people is a Zionist, but being Zionist is legitimate as any other national identity. The fact that Israel as a whole is delegitimized, that is anti-Semitism. People are afraid to talk Hebrew in the street. People are afraid to show any manifestation of being Jewish. People are afraid to even present a balanced discourse, not even support Israel. They're being bullied into one-sided opinion to only criticize Israel.
Going back to where we started about the recognition of a state of Palestine, all of this started back in the 1940s, and we had a declaration passed by the UN on the 29th of November 1947, which was to divide the territory.
The partition plan.
The partition plan. And
yes,
that was supposed to be the roadmap.
That was one of the major tragedies. And it's been forgotten here in Ireland when talking about the history and talking about the Israeli-Palestinian issue. On that date, the Jewish people and the Palestinians had an opportunity by the UN to establish their states, their countries. Israel took that opportunity, and
but
we established Israel.
Displaced Palestinians
no,
in so doing.
No, because on that day, the day after that, we were attacked by all Arab countries who told the Arab Palestinian population to flee Israel and that they'll be given shelter in their countries. The same way the Jewish people in those Arab countries had to flee from revenge and retaliation of the Arab countries. So that during that war, the independence war, we established Israel. The fact that the Palestinian state was not established is a tragedy. But right now, a unilateral step to recognize an entity that does not have controlling powers, that Hamas and the Palestinian Authority kill each other and do not speak between themselves, I do not see how does that benefit the welfare of the Palestinian people.
On that note, Ambassador of Israel to Ireland, Dana Ehrlich, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.